time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, March 16th, 2020. What an interesting Monday we have in front of us here, especially with all that's going on with the coronavirus. We're going to be talking about this, the ramifications of this. Alice and I were talking earlier, and then all of us, just before we went live, that are dialed in here, we're visiting about the potential ramifications. Where is this going? Got a lot of information for you. We want to share it with you. But again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals, for mortgage professionals. We are mortgage professionals, and we're here to just help you sort through all that's going on out there. Our commitment is to bring you timely information, and we got some really good timely information today. We're bringing it to you in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Today in the Hot Topics segment, we've got Ben Terlink, the founder and CEO of Mobility RE, on the program. Very excited about having him here. We're going to be talking about the focus of Mobility RE and this thing called Market Intelligence. They have a Market Intelligence product we're going to talk about. It's a powerful tool for recruiting, also working with real estate agents, who should be forming relationships with. Very exciting. So you're going to want to stay tuned all the way through to the Hot Topics segment in the second half of the podcast. Also, I want to say we're part of the Industry Syndicate, and just check out theindustrysyndicate.com. A whole group of podcasters have gotten together. We formed the syndicate. Very excited to be a part of it and get a list of all the other podcasts you can listen to. I want to give a big shout-out to all the Lender One participants and members. When we were at the Lenders One Summit in Miami, we had so many people walking up to us and talking to us. And so I just want to give a shout out to the Lenders One Association for doing a great job of promoting our podcast within the Lenders One Summit and within their membership. We're thrilled with the partnership. Also, right after we hung up the podcast last week, we got the email from Jonathan Kaur. Ellie Mae has canceled their Experience 2020. Also, I think we'd already told you that compliance ease is canceled. I mean, across the board, and it like started a domino effect. So what is closing? Restaurants? Are the airlines? Where is this going? We're going to be talking about the consequences of that a little bit later on the program. But MERS, which also bought Simplifile, that looks like a great, excellent purchase. Talking about electronic mortgages, the e-recordings, it's just this kind of event, these kind of events that are going on with us right now really cause people to, if they hadn't taken that seriously, they need to be taking it. Amy Moses wanted to make sure that we got the word out to all of our listeners that there is the Legal and Risk Stakeholders webinar. It's an e-note legal guidance from attorneys for attorneys. It's going to be March 25th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, it's designated for attorneys and risk management professionals, but it's really something that we all should be plugged into, and how e-commerce laws create legal validity on a national level for e-notes. Check it out. Some of the panelists will be Sharon Horstkamp, General Counsel for MERS Corp, as well as David Whitaker, partner at DLA Piper, as well as Keith Walsh, Vice President, Associated General Counsel for the Federal Home Loan Bank in Boston. Be sure to go out and register for this, or you can get a hold of Amy Moses at amy.moses@theice.com, theice.com. Again, check out last week's podcast. Great podcast we had with Chris McEntee, the president of ICE Mortgage Services. So Chris had the foresight to acquire Simplifile. What a great foresight to make great acquisitions just before things start going crazy here. Anyway, before we get started, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Be sure to get signed up with the MBA and attend these conferences, assuming I'm not sure which ones we're going to have here. We've got the secondary conference. Haven't heard any word about it being canceled yet. I'm sure as we get closer, we may hear. Based on the current status, we'll know. But check them out, MBA. Then also become a member of the Mortgage Action Alliance. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to be a member of MAW, Mortgage Action Alliance. And, of course, download the app and then have your voice heard with legislators. So easy. Then also Finastra, whose Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity. I was talking to Dan Putney, my good friend, with them. Some of the stuff, the innovation they have going on, it's pretty exciting, especially when you start looking at the technology stack that they're using. We'll be talking more about that in future podcasts, as well as Lenders One. Say a thank you to Lenders One. We already talked about them, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. We're pleased to be a part of both of these mortgage co-ops, which create competitive advantages for lenders and their vendor members. Also, the CMLA, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America. We've got Michael Jones coming back on the program in a couple of weeks to talk to us more about all the initiatives the CMLA has underway from small to mid-sized lenders. Check that out. As well as Indicom. I'm so excited to have them as a sponsor, as well as Incelerate. You want to talk about getting loans done? Brings the leading-edge technology and mortgage expertise into pre-designed campaigns in order to enhance borrower engagement. The key is borrower engagement. You got to check out Incelerate. Just Google Incelerate. Ainsworth Advisors, improving in business efficiencies by developing strong leadership. If you're looking for market leaders with a lot of been there, done that t-shirt experience, looking for advisors during these uncertain times, check out ainsworthadvisors.com. Also, I'm using AI Assist more and more. It's an artificial intelligence tool for marketing, getting the message out. It's very effective. And then we do that in conjunction with Velma, which is a virtual electronic marketing assistant. Those two combined really work well. But I really love what AI Assist is doing with us and helping my businesses. We have three companies that are getting the word out. Very, very powerful. Also, Celebrity Home Loans. I was with David Robnett, the owner of the company, and just last week. In Phoenix, we are looking at The Money Source, their subservicing platform. So impressed with what The Money Source has to offer. But I'm also impressed with the leadership at Celebrity Home Loans, also doing business as Midwest Equity Mortgage up in the Chicago area. Check out Pete Gabrione's interview that we did on November 18th, talking about leadership and mergers and acquisitions, and they are successful in that. Also, Knowledge Coop, our learning LMS, a learning management system, as well as Mobility RE, who's our guest today. We also have Modex as a sponsor. Talked about Velma, VendorSurf, and Vidyard. Of course, finally, I want to say a big thank you to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions each and every week. Let's get over to Rob Van Raphorst with this week's Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. MBA is closely following the spread and impact of coronavirus on our staff, members, and their customers. In response, MBA has created a coronavirus update page on our website to update members and the impact on MBA events and activities. It can be viewed at www.mba.org/coronavirus. MBA has also developed a resource page to assist our member companies as they plan and prepare to protect their staffs and meet customer needs during these challenging times. The resource page includes information from the health disease control agencies, suggested approaches to business continuity plans, relevant information from the GSEs, FHA, and VA, and the financial regulatory agencies, as well as guidance on how companies should communicate with employees, their customers, and the public. That's it for now. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that's good. I love what the MBA has done there. Go check out the website. I was on it earlier when I was talking to some of our clients, and I'm sure they're going to be updating it. But let's get over to Les Parker and get what he has for the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Only the beginning of what we want to end forever. The great repricing arrived. Volatility rose above 1991 levels. Stocks repriced around the globe. Credit default spreads changed. The cost to lay off risk. What does the Treasury market expect? Limited ability by the G4 central banks to prop up asset values. A mild and brief recession in 2020. Credit downgrades and defaults. Mechanical problems continue to prop up in the mortgage banking world due to capacity problems, technology breakdowns, and liquidity. Watch out for margin calls. Big scary beginning. Only just the start. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Is this only just the start? Many are considering that to be a very distinct possibility, and we're going to talk about that again throughout this. What does this mean, Jofar, looking at where we're at in the markets? So first of all, let's run through the calendar and then what we got on the economic calendar, and then love your thoughts on your perspective on the markets.
Dave, I just assume, the economic calendar means nothing.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, I mean, especially.
I want to run through it quickly. There's some.
Nothing matters until you get to March data. I mean, even this week, we've got retail sales coming out tomorrow, but that's February data. The only thing that's come out that's very current was last Friday's consumer sentiment, and it did show a pretty large drop in consumer sentiment, which you would expect. So I really don't think looking at what's on the calendar is going to help anyone to anticipate market moves at all. And I don't know how to help anyone anticipate these market moves. It's just, you know, strange times are causing strange reactions.
So true.
Yeah, and extreme volatility. I mean, just like the stock market had 1,000-point movements in the Dow day in and day out, where, you know, we've seen big movements in MBS prices. I mean, it's looking at from the middle of February to the end of to March 6th, 2 weeks ago, MBS prices had risen by about 2.5 points. You know, that's a big movement over a short period of time. They've fallen almost that full amount in the last week. So that's a big movement the other way.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't a change. There wasn't a situation where, you know, the stock market ran up. Stock market kept falling. People still, you would expect, would need the safe assets that MBS represent. But, you know, maybe the assets are just too low in yield. Maybe there's no longer demand. Maybe cash is king now, you know, and just put it in the bank. So looking at today, Dave, today's important because it does follow a big week in the news. So real quickly, MBS prices are up today about 1.75. They've been up close to 2 earlier in the day. They fell down to, again, a volatile day. They fell to being up only 1% middle of the morning. Now they're back up close to the highs for the day. And, you know, stocks are down again early in the day. They were down 1,800 points or so now. I hadn't looked recently, but last time I looked, they had improved by about 800 points, so a volatile market there. So it was central bank actions over the weekend. It's the news we should talk about, and that came from the Federal Open Market Committee, the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan, the ECB, the Swiss National Bank, and the People's Bank of China. All announced actions to help stimulate the economy, to help smooth some of the economic risks that are associated with the coronavirus. Now, focus on the FOMC, the U.S. Fed, announced another cut in Fed funds rate. You might remember it was a 0.5-point rate cut just a week ago. Now they've cut the Fed, the target range for the Fed funds rate to 0 to 0.25. That's down 1% from where it was before the announcement. They have cut the emergency lending rate, which is the Fed bank loan rate discount rate to banks by 1.25, down to 0.25. And the big thing, we are going back to quantitative easing. The Fed announced a quantitative easing program. They're going to begin purchasing treasuries, mortgage-backed securities. They're going to buy enough to raise the Fed balance sheet by $700 billion, mostly in treasuries, $500 billion in treasuries, $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities. And they've said they're going to make the purchases at a pace so as to not disrupt the market. Well, you know, it's hard to imagine that just the announcement didn't do some of that disrupting of the market. Interesting that this action yesterday on Sunday was an unscheduled meeting, but the scheduled meeting's now been canceled. I guess they no longer need the meeting. So don't look for a Fed announcement on Wednesday is what was on the calendar. There is going to be a press conference this afternoon at 6 Eastern time by the Fed Chair Powell. So that would be certainly interesting to get in touch, to check in on. And as I mentioned, the economic data over the last couple of weeks just simply hasn't mattered. About the only thing that's on the calendar that's current enough to provide much information to us is the home builder confidence. It comes out tomorrow. That's a March number. All the other important stuff, like the retail sales data, is February data, and it may show a small impact of the coronavirus, but certainly is not going to reflect what I think we're experiencing right now, what the market's dealing with right now. So, yeah, I wish I had better answers and something to provide for any sort of guidance, but it's just not a situation to be able to do that.
There's just so much unprecedented. Where's interest rates? And then I'm looking at the news, like Forbes is saying, will this usher in even lower mortgage rates? And what's really interesting is what we're finding from a lot of aggregators, they're not dropping rates. They are so burdened with so much volume, more than they can handle. And now they're talking about the possibility of more and more people going home, working from home. I mean, this is unprecedented. And so we're going to see a lot of different actions. What's really clear to me, and Joe, I want to get your perspective on this, is it just seems so logical that if aggregators are in fact not going to be, they're just, their appetite's beyond indigested, that's just a clogged up system, you know, Fannie and Freddie, and the fact that the feds are there, I mean, I think this could create an advantage for those companies that are approved by Fannie and Freddie to really start selling into them. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think the backlog of activities, the same whether it's a Fannie Freddie loan or an aggregator's loan, although you are in control of your own action as you're putting, if you're one of the ones putting the securities together, but it's still loans competing for the same resources,
right?
Human resources. So I look for mortgage rates to not reflect as low a lower rate as it could based on normal profit margins, whether it be a Fannie Freddie loan or any other loan.
Yeah, I think there's very good distinct possibility that even though rates could go lower, I'm not sure that they're going to. If they do, they're going to be going to by a few until their pipelines fill up, and then why go lower? I mean, it's just that's what I'm hearing from a lot of our companies that we're working with. So very interesting. Very interesting times. Very unsettling times in certain ways, but this too shall pass. We know this is a temporary. This is the most important part. So it's creating some huge market opportunities. I'm looking at the Dow right now is down 1,956 points, down 8.4%. I think that's the most recent number. It's just really fascinating. So we are in interesting times, Joe Farr, and we're so glad to have you dial in. Looking to have you participate in the Hot Topic segment as we continue on. Alice Alvey, it's good to have you with us. Alice is CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. And she's here with this week's legislative update. But I don't know if it's a much of a legislative update as much as an operational update, Alice. You and I were talking earlier today, and it was really interesting when you're talking about employment verifications. Love to get all the things that you're considering as a, we won't get into how many decades you've been in the business, but maybe a number of decades.
Three.
But want to get your thoughts. Three decades, over three, yeah. So anyway, let's get your perspective on where should lenders be focusing from your perspective?
Well, it's, you know, obviously you're pulling out your, you know, crisis recovery plans, but the MBA has done a good job of also pointing out this is very different from any type of typical crisis that might affect one geographic area. It's affecting your whole company. So to your point, first of all, from a legislative standpoint, there was a bill that the House passed on Saturday for some funding relief. As far as how it will impact our borrowers, there does appear to be some funds that will go, it seems, only for small employers, less than 500 employees, where borrowers or their employees may be able to get an extra couple of weeks of paid leave. So ultimately, we have to go back to, from a lending standpoint, if I have a borrower who is sick and at home on a medical leave, you treat that like any other medical leave, right? You don't have to take it into this global context of, well, you know, what if they work for an airline and they're on medical leave? How do I know they're going to have a job when they get back? Remember, calm and facts, right? Stay calm and think of the facts that we know. And so if their employer, you know, is not out of business, has not announced layoffs, and they happen to be on sick leave, that's, is it a short-term disability? Then you count it as that. If it's just, I got to take a couple weeks off, usually we don't get into that nitty-gritty as long as the employer is saying, and they're being paid. So if they're being on paid full-time sick leave, then you're okay. I think some of the larger questions, too, that we're getting on, now in Ohio, where we're located, do I need to go and check my entire pipeline for everybody who works at a restaurant and a bar? Because I now know in Ohio we have closed all those establishments, right? What are all the establishments that have been closed? in that case, you do have to treat it like you would, like we used to treat the auto industry layoffs when that was massive, right? What is their scenario? Do they have a job? And if they don't, then we can't close the loan. They don't have a job. There isn't, you know, some folks are brand new to this. They have never experienced, you know, widespread employment challenges. And so they go, well, can't we make an exception? You know, I'm sure they'll find work. Like, we're not doing the borrower a favor putting them in a new loan, and no investor is going to want that loan if we can't document they're employed. We're getting reminders from all the agencies there are forbearance. This is considered, you know, an exception that someone would be able to get into a forbearance in their mortgage. So people should go look at some loans. You go, I'd love to close them on my new 3% rate, right? Because that'll be a better rate for them and a better lower payment. The however is, that's going to go to an investor and in a new MBS, you know, it's going to go into a new security, and that investor doesn't want a loan where someone doesn't have a job, right? We don't sell those.
That's right. Yeah,
so
that's right.
It is the, you know, as much as you might want to take that application, it is something that needs to be worked out through servicing if they truly are unemployed at this time as a result of this. So there's a laundry list of things. David, another one, you all heard about MBA's website. I was just there. You can find the state information, too, that's helpful for licensing. Keep in mind a lot of states require that an LO works from a branch. And if you, like many of us, have had to say, I don't want to put people at risk being in a branch, many of the states have issued a statement that it's okay for them to work at home, but you can't have a borrower go to their house because now they're conducting activity at their home and they're not allowing that. So the states aren't approving it. They're just saying we're going to take no action for LOs needing to work from home. So please check state by state. Make sure your LOs understand they can't go, well, I'm fine and I had my borrower tested. They're clear. So I'm okay with having them stop by the house to sign paperwork. That is now crossing the line by some states' licensing activity laws. So please check that. Make sure you understand your area. And then, Dave, there are many more. I think you were bringing up recording challenges, possibly.
Yep. I was talking to a client earlier, and if, in fact, there is additional closures to the extent that this rolls out, how does it impact courthouses where we're actually having the recordings? How does that impact our industry? Already talked about employment verification. We're hearing reports that appraisers are, which we're already slow in getting appraisals done because of the record volumes. There's appraisers who are saying, we're not going out. We're not going to go out. We're going to respect this. That has an impact. I think the thing is, what this is bringing about, Alice, is the need for leadership and foresight. We cannot be just in reactive mode. We've got to start anticipating what could this become? Where could this go? And so what are you doing? I just was on a call with a client earlier today. I said, get a hold of your branch managers. They did a really good job of communicating out leadership, strong leadership. I'm coaching them on leadership. I was really pleased to see how they responded. They got ahead of this. They put out, in fact, in this particular case, they said, you know what? These are unprecedented times. And we're owners, we're people of faith. So they literally had a pastor come in. One of the branch managers doubles as a pastor. He came in and said a prayer over their company, their business and activity. And they were going like, how's this going to be received? It was received, overwhelming response of how much that was appreciated. I think it's in times like this where you start looking at what are you doing? So you may want to not go there, but you need to be getting ahead of this and communicating out to your people, folks, what's happening and where this could go.
And I think being nimble, right? So if you think about the appraisers, hey, what if the seller of the home is willing or the buyer is willing to walk around and FaceTime me and show me everything the appraiser wanted to see? Right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And we've actually had that happen where more and more we're starting to see more FaceTiming of things. It's some alternative. But that's a good example, Alice. We've got to get nimble. We've got to get into alternatives. We could check with the agencies. There's a lot of different things we need to do. So anticipate ahead of time all that's happening. We're going to probably be doing a couple special podcasts beyond our regular schedule about as we learn more about this. We're working and talking and getting some officials on from the NBA to come on, do a special podcast. And if we have to do one every single day during this time to kind of help people sort through it and support what the NBA is doing, we're going to do that. So lots of things to consider, Alice. Certainly uncharted waters. And most important thing I'm saying is be ahead of it and be good, strong leaders. And you're a leader in the industry, Alice, so we appreciate you being here and giving us your thoughts.
Yeah, and I think, well, just so everyone's aware, we, you know, certainly at this point, Fannie and Freddie, it is minute by minute. You can't even say day by day right now. So as of now, it's following standard underwriting policies and looking at that scenario and following it just as you would any other underwriting for my borrower's off of work or they're on short-term disability or their employer is now not able to respond, right? There's a difference between employers are just running slow versus the employer truly is shut down and I know my borrower isn't working. We can't go with, I hope they get their job back in 6 months or two
That's
months
right.
or 3 weeks, right? So anyway, more to come. Not sure if the agencies will make any changes there, but as of today, it's traditional management of employment.
Well, let's get Andy Schell. Alan is not here with us with the tech update. He wrote me earlier. He says, Dave, you can't believe the number of issues we're having with tech companies right at the moment. So I'm just buried in some issues as he consults out to the industry. His company is doing fine, the one he's working with. But there are some other companies out there. And so he's tied up and cannot be here with us. But let's invite Andy into this conversation. Alice and Joe, jump in here, because I think one of the things that we're hearing about more, Profit Doctor, by the way, Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor is here, Dr. Andy Schell, also the Profit
Thanks,
Doctor.
Dave.
Good to have you here, friend. But I really want to go into and talking about, we talked some last week, Andy, about interest rate volatility. We're hearing about warehouse lines. There is an increasing number of reports since we've been on this podcast. I got two emails. I'm hearing that my lender is starting to, my warehouse lender is only funding purchase transactions. They're not funding refinance transactions as a way of curbing that. We're hearing that there's some that are struggling with Tier 1 capital issues as we're dealing with record volumes. There's, you know, margin calls potentially out to lenders who are financing portions of their MSRs. So, Andy, if you talk some of that, and then Alice and Joe, I want to get us all talking around the topic of the secondary markets and the possibility of investors not going lower, and what does that all mean? So,
wow.
Andy, lead us off on the lot to talk about.
Yeah, lots to talk about. I wrote it all down, so I've got my notes right here to go through that. And I also had the notes about some of the points that I wanted to make. So yeah. if I can digress for 30 seconds, just to remind everybody that I've got an accounting webinar again. Those haven't stopped because they're remote. They're delivered remotely. They're through the internet.
You so, can do that from home. That's good.
We had 340 people attend the webinar last week. We're expecting
wow.
to have that much, if not more, this next week. So, well, this week, in 2 days. So in 2 days, we have another webinar. Now, back
good.
To your questions.
Yes.
When you mentioned Tier 1 capital, okay, first off, banks lend money, and the amount of money they can lend depends on what their net worth is. Part of net
right.
worth includes their Tier 1 capital, where their net worth is broken into pieces. When that just means that there is a limit, there's a maximum amount they can lend, and when the industry does what it has done with this refi wave, it means that the warehouse line lenders have lent all the money they can lend. It doesn't mean anything bad about the quality of the bank. They
yeah,
can have
exactly. That's
millions
important. Yeah.
and millions and millions of money, but they just the regulators won't let them lend more. About the you know margin calls on short TBA is one thing. Margin calls on an MSR line, that's kind of that's really more related to the financing agreement with the lender. I wouldn't know that I would actually call it a margin call as much of a truing up of market value relative to, because mm-hmm. lenders will lend 50% of the MSR. And if the MSR value drops because rates are dropping and the PSA, CPR, the speed of loan paying off is likely going to accelerate or the value of the MSR drops, then the amount of funding that the lender will advance on that loan, it's like a curtailment when you have a warehouse loan on the line too long. So that could be happening. But rates are back, well, the ABS is back up today. Rates are down a little bit more, but like you said, they're capped. People can't have them go lower. So that's probably a real risk, having an MSR financing facility that has a curtailment provision. That's a real risk that people should consider given the rate environment. Now, a couple things I wanted to mention, and this ties back to what Alice was saying. You need flexibility. You need to have flexibility in the volatility of a pandemic and this social distancing in the midst of a refi wave. So we've got three things happening at once: pandemic, social distance, refi wave. So what that means is that what happens to your workforce when the schools close? So it's like Christmas, like kids are at home. And so what does your workforce do? How do they accommodate having kids at home? Can they work at home? This is where the technology stress comes in. Because if we have e-docs and e-folders and everything scanned and everybody has access remotely because you got a web-based, web-enabled LOS, well, that probably can be pretty effective. The problem is not all the big LOSs actively support mobile access. So you may or may not be able to use that, and so you've got to figure that out. And even if you do open up your platform to a broader array of IP addresses, which simply means, that's just a fancy way of saying, you make it so anybody can access it from home, well, now you've raised security risk. So in the midst of trying to let people work from home, you've made your security platform vulnerable because you're opening up IP ranges that you wouldn't necessarily open up. So that's a risk as well. So that it's always this, where we're doing the best we can to address the challenges that we face from this unprecedented event with the pandemic. Some lenders are prohibiting personal interviews. So what Alice is saying, some originators may say, well, come on to the house. Well, yeah, maybe you can't do that. Maybe that's against the law. Some lenders that I know are prohibiting in-person interviews at the office, and they're switching to video 1003s. So they're using FaceTime on the computer, they're using GoToMeeting videos or Zoom videos or something like that with laptops and a computer to have a conversation with the applicant, the borrower, through the video conferencing. And so we're hearing lots of people. Just a couple days ago, we actually launched a broader deployment of video conferencing for our firm as well. So just be cautious about the in-person interaction. Now, the last point, Dave, I wanted to hit on, unless you want to jump in, and that kind of ties back to what Joe said. Secondary marketing is doing the best they can. This is high volatility, unprecedented volatility, just about. We had volatility in early 2018. It happens periodically, but we don't know where the bottom is. The rules don't work anymore. The relationship between the MBS and the 10-year is broken. Partly because it's manufactured broken because we can't handle more volume. But as the 10 years down, then that's like a magnet pulling MBS down. But at the same time, there's a lot of other factors. So in the secondary marketing job at the independent mortgage company, at every mortgage company, every mortgage lender, the job of secondary marketing is to preserve the gain on sale, to preserve the secondary margin. This volatility impacts predictability of market prices.
Yeah.
That's really, really bad. That's really difficult. So when you've got, you get this kind of, you can't anticipate what the market's going to do, and you probably are going to have market price declines, and you may not be able to preserve all your margin simply because things aren't working. When you pair out of your TBA MBS to go into a mandatory delivery commitment, that spread between the TBA and the mandatory commitment may not cover the numbers it was supposed to. You may end up with it being less. All of this to say, the reliability of the secondary marketing is also going to be challenged. So how this translates out to users is, dude, don't hassle secondary marketing about concessions. They're doing the best they can.
Exactly.
It's like rates are like weather in Texas. Just wait 15 minutes and it'll change again. So don't get all balled up, especially on refi transactions. Just, it is what it is. They're doing all they can. It's as good as it's going to be. And like you said, Dave, so I'm going backwards to the show. Like you said, Dave, communication is key. Top management must let the staff know the plan to address all of these issues, the rates, the staff, remote access. Communicate. And in times of uncertainty, people react most favorably when they're communicated. Even if you say, nothing new since the last hour, we're still working on it, or every 2 hours, or whatever
exactly
the frequency is, establish your frequency, don't be late, and periodically tell your staff what's happening. That's key in a situation like this.
Excuse me, I'm choking up as you're talking here, coughing. Everyone's so afraid to cough these days. You're at a restaurant or something, and half restaurants are half filled. Bluebonnet Saturday certainly wasn't out here. Andy, we got to have another Bluebonnet meal. But getting back to the point of the communication, we were talking to another one of our clients this morning. Ben had a lot of calls. Started at 7 o'clock this morning. I woke up, was having my coffee, and was enjoying some quiet time, and the phone starts blowing up at 7 o'clock this morning. One of the questions that I received, the very first question, is the mortgage industry going to survive zero interest rates? I would like to have you respond to that, Andy, and then get everyone else's. Joe, if you had any thoughts you want to add to it, what are the consequences of a zero interest rates?
Well, so for mortgage lending, we're driven by the mortgage-backed securities. Every application, for the most part, ends up in a mortgage-backed security. I mean, there are some portfolio lenders, but for the most part, that's where it all goes. So we really care about the mortgage-backed security market. And the mortgage-backed security current coupon has the 2%, 2.5% is the current coupon. That's far from zero. I think that mortgage origination is going to do great. If anything, I think that the refi wave is going to be perpetuated because it's going to take a while for all this to recover. If I were an MSR holder, I would be originating as fast as I can. That's why Wells Fargo,
exactly,
BofA,
right,
the big bank,
yeah,
are going to be are going to be huge consumers of new origination because they have to. They're almost their entire MSR is going to churn. So they've got to be buying. While that does put pressure, downward pressure on rates, I don't see it going to zero. But, you know, low rates are good for mortgage. It helps people buy a bigger house. It helps people afford houses. It just does all kinds of good. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Joe?
Yeah. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with everything Andy said. And the bottom line is that the market sets the rate, and the market's going to not set it at zero. Those who get mortgages at this point may be in their house a long time and will be great servicing assets for those who can keep the servicing. But yeah, I don't see zero rates being a direct impact on the mortgage market.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that. Alice, what's Union Home talking about? What's going on around the halls of Union Home? Seeing this as an opportunity, what's your thoughts?
Well, it's absolutely a big opportunity, and I agree with what Andy and Joe have both said. I think the thing that loan officers have to be mindful of is, you know, again, like I said earlier, every minute the market is changing, and I think it was Andy who said before, things are not the way they used to be, and how the two are working together. So you do have to trust the rate sheet, lock it when you can. You're not going to float it to see if you can. The rates are going to go down today, and locks are locks that today. You're not going to get an extension on anything because this isn't the borrower's stuck at home sick with the virus and can't come to closing. Can we extend their rate, right? You got all kinds of stuff coming up where everyone wants to blame the virus for everything. And, you know, these loans still have to make money. They still have to close on time. Those aren't going to be excuses because of all this volatility.
Interest rates most likely are not going to be going to zero in the mortgage industry. I don't see that playing out at all, but I do see that we are going to have those with stronger cash positions have a significant advantage over those that don't. We had one client literally went out and raised $25 million in capital over the weekend. He is able to do that because of his network of friends to take advantage of these opportunities. This is going to create opportunities for strong, financially well-managed companies, and it comes with communications. And so if you're going to just post up updates on your company website, I would say I challenge you to consider doing at least an audio and even do a video communication. Shout out to Vidyard, who's one of our sponsors. That wraps up the first part of our podcast, and we're now going to move into the Hot Topic segment. Today in the Hot Topic segment, we've got Ben Terlik, who is the founder, CEO of Mobility RE, and we're going to be focusing on Mobility RE's new product and market intelligence product, and we're also going to be talking about how you can use this in recruiting. You said, look at these opportunities at this market. Alice just mentioned it. Loan officers are going to be looking around, and so are you getting the right loan officers? What market intelligence do you have to be able to select the loan officers? We're going to be talking about that and how this tool can also help real estate agents and broker relationships. Ben Terlik, good to have you with us here. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. Nice to be here. Thanks, Dave.
Sorry, we took a little longer talking about the other stuff of the first part of our podcast. And for those that are listening on a downloaded basis, go back and listen to the previous podcast. If you're listening on a downloaded basis, keep right on listening because that's where we're at, the Hot Topic segment. First of all, I want to talk about market intelligence. Ben, if you could give us some insights to what market intelligence was and where it is and where also you see it going. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it is, Dave. You know, market intelligence, you know, you hear AI and intelligence, all these, you know, things thrown out there. You know, the way that we look at it is that there is a lot of data out there, you know, and there has been. And, you know, the trouble that I think everyone has is taking that data and then putting it to use, being able to actually understand what it's telling you, and then being able to utilize that to make good decisions and more informed decisions and more effective. And so the way that we've looked at it is it's a way to take all the data that's out there and available and bring it together into a simple board and platform that's going to allow you to access what it is that you're trying to access in a simple way to then be able to utilize it and act on it. So that's kind of the way that we've defined it on our side is, you know, really getting that data and then being able to use it.
So you bring up the point that there's a lot of data out there, and there's all these various disparate systems where you have that. And an intelligence platform, if I'm hearing you correctly, is gathering that data and presenting that data in a meaningful way to meet a specific area, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, that it's just the data doesn't do you any good if it's sitting in a giant spreadsheet, you know, on your computer. But, you know, where it starts being effective is when you start seeing opportunities by, you know, manipulating that data and sorting it in a way that you all of a sudden things come to the forefront and say, wow, you know, here's what I need to jump on and here's what I need to do. That's where it becomes really valuable. And I think, you know, everything that we've discussed on this, you know, podcast today, there are a lot of opportunities and there's a lot of information there that I think can be utilized now as, you know, opportunities arise.
Well, there's one, my favorite area I want to get into is recruiting of loan officers. But before we go there, talk about the data that you have available, the market intelligence around finding, identifying the right real estate agent. Start there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we'll start with that side of it because, you know, our market intelligence really brings both sides in. It brings the realtor relationships, but also the lender production for recruiting. And, you know, what we found, you know, we've been around for over 10 years. And originally, you know, our products and platforms were more, you know, helping the agent and the loan officer to generate buyers together and to, you know, let them look for homes and a lot of tools that have been over kind of in that segment. But what we found over and over and over again is that loan officers want more than anything to build good, solid agent and brokerage relationships, but they really don't know who's doing the business in each of those markets. You know, you might see an agent that, you know, has their profile on the side of a bus or on a bunch of park benches, and you say, hey, they must be doing a ton of business. I can reach out to them. You know, I see their advertisements. They must be big producers. But, you know, other than that, it's really hard to know other than kind of word of mouth or, you know, our advertising. So what we wanted to do is say, look, let us help you see who's doing the business in your markets and in your areas so that instead of spending all that time and effort and, you know, lunches and golf and everything else on an agent that did three or four deals last year, let's help you find those that may be doing more business and doing the business that, you know, goes well with you. So we've been able to pull that through and let you sort and search and filter your markets and your areas to say, show me the brokerages doing this kind of business. Show me the individual agents doing this. And in our platform, we've done it a bunch of different ways. You know, we have the ability to search in a list, which is, you know, pretty convenient. But we've also integrated our map, allowing you to use your GPS location, use your mobile device, say, look, show me all the real estate offices and brokerages near me. We'll show those on a map. You can dive in and see every agent within that, what their production numbers are. And then we can even show you which lender relationships that realtor has. So, you know, hey, what's my competition? This is who they're sending their loans to. What's my advantage? You know, what can I now talk to this person about to start building that relationship? So it's kind of the long answer to your question there, but
Yeah, but it's identifying the realtor that's actually doing something, and rather than the one that looks like they're doing something, is probably the best way to do it. We used to go out, and back before we had any of the databases that we now have, we'd go out and check out, you know, the rumor mill. I mean, you'd go ask ask the title insurance agencies, you'd just go out and ask questions. And I mean, that was okay, but empirical data, nothing quite like empirical data. So give us a quick story. I always like a story. Do you have any stories that come to mind on someone who has just absolutely turned their business around because of the real estate data, a real estate agent data that you have? Anyone come to mind?
We do, yeah. You know, I mean, we get success stories all the time. We love when people do that. You know, they don't need to, but they do. They reach out and they say, hey, wanted to let you guys know I was able to do this because of your platform, and we love hearing those things, because not only can we, you know, take that information and, you know, be glad that we created those tools, but then we can add to it and continually improve it. But a story that just came in recently and we're pretty excited about was a new loan officer, new to the business, and, you know, wanted to really get out there and start building agent relationships, really focus on that purchase business. And so in our platform, not only do we let you find that agent or those brokerages doing the business, but we then also let you track that agent to be notified of their activity. So we'd basically ping you each day and say, hey, this agent's closed another deal. Or more importantly, hey, this agent just took a new listing today. Here's the information. Here is the
activity. I mean, real stuff.
Number. Yeah, and real-time stuff on that. So it's, hey, they literally took this listing 5 minutes ago. So we also have our other products and tools that, as I mentioned, we've done for 10 years, which is co-branded, you know, products to help generate business. And so what we found with this agent is he went in, he found some great real estate agents that, you know, he wanted to work with, and he tracked them. So we started getting notifications. So this new LO reaches out to a realtor that does about 150 transactions a year. And he basically got notified that that agent took a new listing that day. So he created some of these products, single property pages, co-branded brochures, a custom mobile app that, you know, allows the buyer to search, where now that agent and that loan officer are the only ones, not their competitors, showing up on there. So he reaches out to this realtor and he says, hey, congrats on the new listing. Here are some products, tools that we like to use to help generate and build yours and our business together. Would love to sit down, grab lunch, and, you know, show you how we do things together. And this realtor that does about 150 deals a year responds back to this new LO and is like, this is awesome. I love this. I would love to sit down. You know, when can we grab lunch? Well, this new LO actually goes back to his branch manager and says, hey, I had no expectations of this guy actually responding to me. I got lunch with him Thursday. Will you come with me and help me out? And sure enough, branch manager went with them. They sat down with this agent, had a great conversation, and, you know, they're starting to send a ton of business over there.
I love those kind of stories. That's great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Very cool to see it working.
Well, that's one aspect of it. So every LO out there, there are tools, and this product is affordable. That's the part that blew me away. I'm going, oh, I don't even, this is great, but it's only going to be affordable to the biggest of companies. That's not true. We're going to get to pricing a little bit later on. Now, how many of you see the disruption out there, listeners, that's going on? You know, companies are not going to be able to make some margin calls. There's volatility. There's poor leadership in some of these companies. The stronger LOs are not going to stay in these companies. And there's a way to search, which gets us to, for me, one of the most exciting parts. Because the way I used to track it when I first started in this industry 46 years ago, I called everybody. I had a 3x5 card on every realtor. I had a 3x5 card on every loan officer. I had a database. And I had this card database that was huge on people that I wanted to go recruit, as I was a branch manager back in those days, many, 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 many years ago. Gosh, 46 years ago, I wanted to go out. But, oh, when I heard about your tool, and that's what I want to talk about. Let's talk about how you can source and find top producers. Give us some insights. And, folks, I call this the depends part of this. Put on your adult diaper, because you may wet your pants when you start hearing about this opportunity. Talk about it.
No, it's exciting for us, too, you know. And I think I always like to mention, you know, we built this product. We rolled it out in kind of a beta and said, hey, lenders, you know, we've had a relationship with you. We've provided other tools and products for you. you know, we think we've created something that's really going to be helpful for you in your recruiting efforts and helping you nail down and pinpoint who you want to talk to. And we rolled that, and the response has just been incredible of really what it is able to do for them. And as I talked about at the very beginning, it's taking that massive amount of data and really narrowing it down to find exactly who and what it is that you're looking for in those specific and particular markets. So, you know, really what we've done is given a lender the ability to come in and say, all right, look, we want to find, you know, whether it be individual loan officers doing X amount of production in a certain area with, you know, certain type of loans that they do, or even on a larger scale with, hey, we're looking to bring on entire branches, or we're looking to even acquire other lenders that are, you know, doing X amount of business or whatever in certain markets or areas. So what we've done is given you the ability to come in and put all of those filters and kind of that criteria in to say, look, I'm looking for a loan officer or several that we want to recruit in this market doing this volume of loans and this type of loans. So you can filter that and say, I just want purchase, refi, builder. We have all different kinds. You can say, look, I'm looking for a really good person that does reverse mortgages in this area. Basically, whatever your filter or needs
it's whatever
are.
Whatever the filter is, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you search, it kicks it back to you, and you see, all right, here's, you know, 87 different LOs in this county that do this volume. And then what's nice is you can click on that LO, we'll then break down and show you everything it is that they're doing. It'll say, hey, this is the volume that they've done. This is where, this is their total volume because they've done this in that county, but here's what they've done. And that essentially grabs everything, not just in that county, but everything that they've done on a national level. So even if they're licensed in multiple states, pulls it all through, gives you that intelligence, that insight of, hey, here's where they're at, here's what they're doing, and this is the company they're with. We even have some links and ways that you can click within one or two clicks, have contact info, and the ability to then connect and have conversations with them. In addition, showing you, hey, do they have realtor relationships? Are they sitting in a real estate brokerage? Where are they getting all that loan volume?
I know.
It's really been pretty cool to see what it does.
That's pretty powerful. Andy and Joe, I want to get you in on this discussion. Andy, you remember we've talked about this before, out recruiting. Joe, you and I have talked about this as well. How cool is it? Now, this is a rhetorical question. Do loan officers have a tendency to slightly exaggerate the number of loans they're producing? Yes or no?
Well, Dave, of course not. Just like fishermen who caught a 6-inch trout, say it's 2 feet.
Yeah, of course.
This is great. I'm really interested in learning more about the data validity and the data sourcing. And I don't want to jump too far ahead.
I know Ben, you're doing a great job explaining
this stuff. But my grandmother's from Missouri, so that's a show me state. So how do you know? This is very intriguing. Very excited to hear more about it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, you know, and that's a question that every one of our lenders, asks in the beginning phase of, hey, you know, this is exciting, but let me confirm here, you know, let's look at this data. Let's look and see, is it effective? Do you have all the information? And, am I going to be able to use it in this market or this area? So what we've done is, as I mentioned, their data is out there. Our goal has been to go out and create partnerships, relationships, to gather and license and pull all that data from a bunch of different data partners, relationships, as well as our own, and gather that and put it into the dashboard. We gather from county records. We gather from public records directly from other sources. You know, we basically bring it all in. And then what's been really nice for us to see is we feel very confident that we've gathered that data from a lot of the sources. We'll have our clients in those markets and areas say, you know, look up your own LO, look at your own LOS, look at their production and look at it in ours. And, you know, very, very close and accurate in those markets. Now, every now and then, you know, just full disclosure here, there are some markets and small counties that just don't do a very good job of reporting and recording that information. They don't do it digitally. It's still a file sitting in that county office. But, you know, what we're looking at, the numbers that we're running, roughly 85-87% of the U.S. population falls within the counties that we gather that reporting from on the lender side of things. So that gives you maybe a 13, 15% of the U.S. population that's in some of those smaller and more rural counties. But now what's been great is, you know, this year, that's been our project, is to go into those smaller areas now and gather it. So just, you know, in the last month, we added a little over 300 of those counties, which actually accounted for close to 14 million people when you look at the population. And so now we're backfilling that and getting it to the point of even where some of those really small areas now get that reporting and coverage. So very powerful on a national level of being able to see it, and even in those markets where you may not think that it would be available.
Wow.
Yeah. And Andy, to your point, I was riding with one of Ben's customers on the Lenders One bus driving out to a function and at the recent conference here in Miami. And Ben's product came up, and I said, she's responsible for recruiting. I said, what tools do you use? She says, I'm a big fan of Mobility RE. I use Mobility RE. And I said, I asked her that very question. She says, you know what? The vast majority of the markets, they nail it. There are some markets where you just go out. So I really appreciate that where they don't have as complete data that we have to go out and do some additional research on. So I appreciate the integrity and the honesty and complete disclosure on that point. But she was raving about this, Andy. It was just like, oh my gosh, can you imagine this? She says, my favorite story is I'm sitting there with a loan officer who is applying, and we ask him, so what kind of volume do you do? And I've got the screen, and Mobility RE opened up, and I'm looking at it, oh, I closed this much. And they go, oh, you're kidding. When did you do that? Well, I did that last month. He says, well, I'm looking at a report right here, and it says you closed not six loans. You actually closed three loans, and it was for this realtor, and this realtor, and it was this loan product, and this loan product, and this loan product, and watch the blood drain out of that. And so, I mean, I don't know that you want to use it in a way to embarrass people, and we're going to get into best practices, but Joe, can you imagine having a tool like this back when we owned our mortgage companies, Joe?
Yeah, I was stuck on the time I got in trouble for creating or having a tool that our LOs helped real estate agents perform their job better. And am I missing something here? Because that to me was at the time was a RESPA violation, and we had to stop that effort. This is nothing like that, though, is it, Ben? And that
right.
The user of the product is the loan officer, not the real estate agent.
Correct. We have multiple tools that, you know, do actually cater to the realtor and, you know, give them the ability to do things. But this intelligence product is really used for the lender to just see who's doing what and everything there. So, you know, what we've found is sometimes the co-branded products, the realtor products, you know, those slow down a little bit in the approval and vendor management process because of, hey, are we making sure we're good with RESPA and things there. But the intelligence piece just goes straight through there with no issues because it's really a lender product, just gathering data and information, nothing that would even tie remotely to, you know, RESPA. So it gives you those tools without having to worry about those things and really pretty helpful and effective that way.
Nice.
Yeah, they've gone through and actually covered some of that to make sure that they're not encouraging anyone to make any RESPA violations. Yeah. But it's a great question,
yeah.
Joe, because, I mean, if we don't ask the question, we don't get a chance to cover it. So that's great. We cannot believe we're out of time. But what I want to talk about is one of the most effective ways when it comes to recruiting. I mentioned his name, but I don't have his authorization to do. But you and I have both. It's a good friend of mine, and it's a client of yours up in Dallas. You know him well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using your tool very effectively to search. He says, Dave, this is like a laser-guided missile. I only want to call recruit the loan officers who do this amount of volume with these kind of products in these kind of markets. And your tool, he said, has allowed him to laser target his recruiting. So he's not spamming the whole industry and having to use that. He's only talking to the LOs that he wants to talk to that fit his company profile. Do you want to give a little insights as we wrap this up, and then we're going to get at how people can get on their website and learn more? So
yeah,
talk about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I think you hit it right on the head there, Dave, that, you know, we've really tried to give you the ability to narrow that down and find the people that you really want to have the conversations with. You know, there are plenty of great LOs out there, but they may not be doing the volume or the types of loans or in the areas that you really want and need to be focused on. this really does let you laser focus that by using those filters, whether it's by area or production or both, and narrowing it down and finding those individuals, and then being able to click through and say, here's the contact, here's the way that I reach out to them and do that. And so we've heard that time and time again from recruiters that it has been just an extremely effective and more efficient way to find who you're after and to do that. And, you know, going kind of side by side with that, the recruiting side has been, you know, incredible. But now what more and more of our lenders are seeing that may have started out with that is we've recruited a bunch of great people with it. But now let's also use the same tool we used to recruit them to now retain them, but also use it to recruit more people to say, hey, if you come on board with us, these are the tools we have to help you find more realtor relationships, or as a branch manager to help you now recruit other people, because now you can see who's doing that in your area and bring them onto your branch. And so it's been really cool to see that it may start out with I'm finding those individuals, but now I can use this to expand that recruiting and relationships to LOs and others.
That's really powerful. I love this tool. I love what it's doing for people. It's just so funny when I was in that bus and it came up as just a conversation. I said, what tools are you using? And they go, we use Mobility RE. And I said, oh, actually they called it MMI. And I go, oh, what's that? And I said, have you heard? I asked them if they heard it. And they go, they said it's one of the same with Mobility RE. So talk about how. What's the website people can go to? How can they learn more? And then also just any insights about pricing, because it is a pretty much a standard fixed price for this product that you have. If you could give us some insights.
Yeah.
Website
definitely. Yep. So website first. Now, a couple things that you can do. One, you can just go to mobilityre.com. It's our website. You can go there. The interesting thing with the website is for a long time, this was just a beta that we put out there and wanted to see, you know, how effective it was for our lenders. So you'll probably see and notice not a whole lot of marketing and advertising on there for quite some time. But now you're able to go on. You can actually even request a demo right from the site, which will then allow our team to reach out, coordinate, and share screen, walk you through, pull your markets up, show you individuals within your company and those around you so that you see names, you recognize it, you confirm and verify production and accuracy. So you can go to the site and do that. You know, we've also done some, you know, unique things here with Dave, and we're excited about that. And that is that this has always been an enterprise level solution for us that, you know, companies come on, they get it as a company, then decide how many people they want to provide it to within the company, whether it's just the recruiting team initially or just the branch managers, or if it's something that they've, you know, decided to give to each of their LOs. But we're exploring some new things with Dave, and that is that we're going to open it up through his channel, and really his channel only, for individuals that may be, you know, smaller than just an entire company, that you may want to get started and then have it roll up through your company as they see how effective it is for you. So we're excited about that. And that, you know, link to that we will get to Dave, and he'll be able to put on his site, which will be kind of that unique way to access at a far smaller entry level than it would be for the entire enterprise. So we're excited about that.
MobilityRE.com is where you want to go, folks. Learn about that. And then come back, check our website, our Lickit on Lending podcast website. And we'll also have it on our consulting website as well. So, but Ben, thank you so much. This is such a powerful tool. I only wish. I mean, I go back to the days when I used to recruit and go out and get business in. It's so powerful. And I should say this, folks. We as Transformational Mortgage Solutions is now doing a lot of recruiting for companies. We've gotten into that side of the business, and we are using this platform, and it is so impressive. So, folks, check it out, mobilityre.com. And if you get a chance to talk to Ben, I encourage you to do so. He's got a great team, and I encourage you to reach out to them. Ben, thank you so much for being here with us this week. Really do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. And we'll be in touch soon, I'm sure.
Next week, we've got Josh Friend coming on, a good friend of mine, CEO and founder of Incelerate. You check it out and go out to the website in advance of that. You'll hear all about what Josh is doing. We're focusing on some technology tools because I think as we look at this industry where we're starting to see it becoming more remote, how do we get in touch with customers? Those that have the remote advantage are going to have that. And then I love what Ben does in helping you identify the LOs that you want to have in your shop and work with realtors. And then it's engagement, consumer engagement from that. That's what we're going to be talking about next week. So be sure to check out our podcast. Come back next week. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Finastra, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, as well as CMLA, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, Indicom, Celerate, Ainsworth Advisors, AI Assist, Celebrity Home Loans, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Velma, VendorSurf, Vidyard, and Modex. We're so glad to have all of you here as listeners. Be sure to share this podcast with others. We look forward to having you back here next week. Have a great week, everybody. And do watch out about this coronavirus. Don't let it get over the top for you. Don't let the fear. It's all about leadership, man. How are you leading your organization or how are you leading in the markets? Be a leader, not a panic spreader, not one that creates the ongoing crisis. Be a leader. Have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.